This is part of a letter written to Christians in a town called Colossae. Why we know it as Colossians. The people are the Colossians. The town is Colossae. Paul had never met these Christians. He had not been there, but he had heard of them. And so he wrote to them. He wrote to them to make sure they had the real Christian faith. He wanted to make sure they were safe. Many false Christs, many false gospels, false Jesuses being preached. He wanted them to have a good foundation in the apostolic truth. And so today we can turn to his letter Jesus. There's a lot of long words in the reading, a lot of long, difficult sentences in the passage, but I hope you saw that it is all about Jesus Christ. If the Christians in Colossae knew the real Jesus, they'd see no need for the false ones. If they saw who he really is, they never turn away. If you today see the real Jesus Christ, you'll never look anywhere else. If you get a sight of the Son of God, you'll be satisfied in him today, tomorrow, every day. You'll never need anything else. But who is he? We're going to start in verses 15, 16, 17. Christ the Creator. If somebody appears, then we ask, who is he? Where is he from? If a politician comes and says, vote for me, people say, who are you now? Where have you come from? Where's your place? Where are your beginnings? In sport. If some great player, some great athlete comes, say, where is this man from? Verse 17 says, Jesus, he is before all things. Jesus is the eternal one. He is the eternal Son of God. There never was a time before Jesus. He is the eternal Word of God, the eternal Son of the Father. Verse 17 again says, in him all things hold together. But Jesus is the one who is upholding all things. Everything depends on him. He depends upon nobody. Planets up in space, the sun, the moon and the stars, the power of Jesus now. Every bird that's flying across the sky, Jesus gives it life. Every little insect that's crawling along the ground, Jesus gives it life. You and me, our hearts beating in our chests, our lungs drawing breath, Jesus is holding us in existence now. Not just us, but hundreds of thousands in Eldoret. Millions and billions living in this world. Jesus, the Bible says, holds all things together. Jesus is not created. He is the Creator. As it says in verse 16, the end of the verse, it says, all things were created by him and for him. All things are created by him. Things in heaven, on earth. Visible, things you can see. Invisible, things you can't see. Powers, rulers. rulers or authorities, the angels that were made with great power, all in their ranks and all in their positions, the hands of Jesus made every one of them. All. Whether you can see it, whether you can't see it. Jesus is the great creator of heaven and earth. Now, how does the Bible start? It says, in the beginning, a God made the heavens and the earth. And he tells it, he made it by his word. He spoke. A powerful word went out. He said, let there be light. Let there be land. Let there be creatures, the plants. If we read the Gospel of John, it tells us that word is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. Why do you exist? Because Jesus decided to make you. Why are we here in this place and this time? Because Jesus brought us here. Jesus is the living and powerful Word of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we can read Jesus saying this. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Another place he says, the Father has placed all things in the hands of the Son. Whatever God does, he does through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse 15 of our passage, it says that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn is the head. He's number one in the family. He's the one with the right to inherit. The one to whom all things belong. The one to whom all things are to be given. In verse 30, it speaks of God's dear Son, or the Son that he loves. The one whom he delights in. The firstborn is the one with authority in the family. Now, there are some cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say, firstborn. So then, he was born, he was created. He's just the first of the creation. But Paul made it very clear that's not true. He just told us that he made all things. That Jesus is the creator. He's not the created. He's the creator. That he holds all things in existence. As it says in John's Gospel, the Word is God. That he was with God in the beginning. And he himself has no beginning. He's before all things. But he is the one for whom the world was made, the one to inherit everything. Why is the world here? Did you ever ask that? Why is there a world instead of nothing? What is the purpose of it all? Now, if you see our brothers started to put some things together over there, there's some wood down here, then you know he has a plan. There's something he wants and something he's going to do. If you just see a few poles and you know there's a plan, what if you see a world? What if you see a universe? God's plan is to show his glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. God's plan is for the world and the people in it to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And one day, for him to be revealed when all things have been completed, when every enemy has been defeated. Why do we live from day to day? Well, there's lots of things we have to do when we're alive. We have to get food, we have to pay our bills, we need to teach and raise our children. But what's it all for in the end? What's it all aiming towards? What's your life aiming towards? plan. The true plan of the world is for Jesus to receive glory. It's for us to serve him. If you saw him, if you knew him as he really is, then you'd say, that's fantastic, that's wonderful. There's nothing more I want than to give my all for him. Every other purpose is sin. If you're living and your plan is just for yourself and you don't care about Jesus' plans, well, that's sin. That's rebellion. If you had someone in the government of Kenya and if he said, really, I don't care about Kenya, I'm working for Uganda, you'd say, that man's a traitor. He shouldn't be here. What's he doing here? But if you had someone working in the school, they're stealing all the resources for themselves instead of trying to help the school grow. You say, that person doesn't belong here. They're a criminal. What are you doing in God's world? Are you seeking to know Jesus Christ and to give him glory? Are you just living for yourself? Jesus is the world's true king. We need to bow to him. We need to turn back to him. He needs to be all. Because it says here, he is all. He's the maker of all. He's the ruler of all. Everything is for him. We need to turn back to the world's true king. Not just one day in the week, not just one day in the year, but to give him our hearts in everything that we do, that he might be pleased with us. How big is your Jesus, the Jesus in your mind? How big is he? He just someone to help you with your plans? That's not big enough. Jesus is the King of the nations. We should bow before him to serve him in his plans. Otherwise, you're just an idol. In the temples, in town, the false religions of the world, they seek their gods to get power, to help them in their lives. They want power to avoid sickness. They want power to have a good life. But that means those are not gods at all. If those gods are just serving you, then who's the god? You're the god. The true God is the one that we serve, and we give our life and our strength for his glory. Repenting is when we come back to that. Christ the Creator. Paul says he's not just Christ the Creator. Let's go forward. He's Christ the Redeemer. Written verses 13, 14, 15, and 18 up to 22. What happens when the honour of a family falls? What happens when the honour of a nation is questioned? Then you look to the leaders, or you look to those who are first, right again. If the honour of the nation falls, you look to the president and the prime minister to start restoring it. If the honour of your family falls, you look to the firstborn son to step out and to do something. As Christ is the firstborn of God's creation, so he is the one who can redeem the creation. After sin came into the world, Christ is the one who can cleanse it and wash it again. After God's name has been blasphemed, God's name has been insulted, after evil and dishonor and lies have come into the world, Jesus is the one who can put it right, restore the honour of God's name, bring justice because of sin, bring judgment against evil, and purify and cleanse the world again. And so he came. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, in Christ all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. The fullness of God came to earth bodily in Jesus Christ. It's in verse 19 in our chapter also. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Eternally, Jesus has all of the glory of God in him. But he took also a body, and he came to this earth. Verse 22 speaks of Christ's physical body. As the firstborn, God came. So Jesus came. Verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. God is invisible, you can't see him. But Jesus came to show you all of his goodness and justice and truth in his life. Adam in the beginning was made in the image of God, but he fell. That image was not seen anymore as it should be seen. But Jesus came as the perfect and true image of God. And he cleansed all by his blood. It says in verse 14 that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 20 says that through Jesus all things are reconciled. That's why he came, to reconcile to himself all things in earth, in heaven, through the blood of the cross. At the cross, the justice and the honor of God were seen and restored. God had been dishonored and sin was filling his world. At the cross, sin was punished. Jesus, so graciously, so mercifully, he took that punishment on himself. He was punished so that sin might be dealt with, and then the world could be put right again. So he didn't have to destroy the world, didn't have to destroy men that he'd made. But sin being dealt with, he could start to put everything right again. The demons, the angels who had fallen, could be cast out. That he could start to bring order and justice and truth again to the world through his church. Redemption through the blood of Christ. Now in verse 12, 13 and 14, he's saying, it's just like what happened when Israel came out of Egypt. There was a great redemption. There was a lamb that was slain. Its blood was shed. And the firstborn in the families of Israel was spared. God came and judged the wicked Egyptians. But the Israelites were forgiven, and their firstborn was saved, and the whole nation became the firstborn of God. God brought them out of that land, a land of darkness and evil, and he brought them into a land of light where he was their king. They became his holy people. They received the great inheritance, verse 12, in that land he had given them. Well, that was just an earthly redemption. He took a people out of one nation into a new land. But what Jesus did on the cross is the true redemption. He's destroyed the power of Satan over his people. He's forgiven them by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the firstborn, the Lord Jesus. He's made those who believe his holy people. And he's promised them a new heavens and a new earth. Christ is the Redeemer. Done it through his death on the cross. Verse 18 says he's the firstborn from among the dead. He's the beginning. So he's the head of the body, the church. God is bringing a new creation. He's cleansing the world of sin and death. He's going to make all things new. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to remove everything wrong from the world. And he's going to make us glorious. He's even going to give us new bodies. He's going to raise up those who have died and give them new bodies which can never die and never be sick. He's redeeming everything that came into the world when Adam sinned. He's taking it out again. And in that new creation, Jesus is also first. He's already risen from the dead. He's gone ahead as the leader. There's a new creation. We won't have sorrow and suffering and sickness forever. We won't have the struggle to survive forever. But those who are in Christ, for them all things will become new. His resurrection is the sign and the promise. God says, look, I've already raised up my son. I've already begun. It'll all come in the proper time. So Jesus is the head then of the church. Not just the old creation, but the new creation as well. Because God wants him to be first in everything. The church should only have one Lord. There's only one real leader in the church. All others should be servants. All others should follow the will of Jesus Christ. Now, have you bowed to the Lord Jesus? If we look at your life, will we say, Jesus is Lord? This person is staying close to Jesus. Or will we say, this person is still going their own way? This person is still in rebellion. This person is not part of the new world. He's not part of the new creation. Oh, repent today. Repent. Turn to Jesus. And he'll make you part of that new creation. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you the promise that you'll be there when all things are restored. You'll be part of that great resurrection to eternal life. So, Paul tells us how to give Christ all the glory. Christ the Creator, Christ the Redeemer, tells us how to give the glory. Well, first, we have to hear this gospel. Verse 23, he tells them to continue in that hope, that confidence. Continue holding on to the promise that was held out in the gospel. This is the gospel you heard, which has been proclaimed, declared to every creature under heaven. The Colossians had heard the good news. They had heard that God sent his Son to cleanse the world by his blood, to forgive sins, and to restore all things. They heard that news. They heard that they could be forgiven, that their sins could be taken away, and that they could enter the new world. And they believed it. That was now their foundation. But Paul says, hold on to it. Don't build another foundation. Don't change your foundation. Don't move away from it. But hold on to it. Continue in him day by day by day. As he says in chapter 2, verse 6. He says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. It's no good to follow Jesus one day, even 100 days. You must continue all your days. Don't be hot for Jesus one day and cold another. Jesus says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. But be on fire for him every day. He's worthy. Paul says, don't move. There's many winds that are blowing, trying to blow Christians out of the way. Many temptations and trials, trying to get them to move off their foundation. Suppose that you were on a ship. You're carrying treasure across the ocean. You know when you arrive on the shore, the treasure will be yours. But you have to get that ship to the other side. There are storms. What are you going to do? You're going to jump off the ship? No, you're going to stay with the ship so that you get it to the other side. Jesus is our treasure ship. He's our ark of safety. In the floods of God's judgment, in the tests and trials that come in this world, we need to stay close to him until we arrive on the other side. There's an inheritance, as it says in verse 12. God has made it possible for us to share in that inheritance, but we need to hold on till we get to the end. Verse 11, he says, in verse 12, he says, be joyfully giving thanks. Gratitude, thanksgiving with joy. Those are the secret strengths of a Christian. As he remembers Jesus Christ, and says, all that greatness, all that glory in Christ is for me if I hold on to him by faith. All those promises are mine. All my sins are taken away. Yes, there's trouble now, but there'll be rest afterwards. Praise the Lord. So they hold on to him and keep going. Once you start complaining, once you start grumbling, once you say, oh, it's too hard to follow Jesus, it's too much, then you're slipping, you're falling away. But hold on to him. When an army goes out to war, one of the most important things is its morale, as they call it, that it is encouraged, that they are together, that they believe that they can beat the enemy. But if they're complaining, if they're grumbling about the officers, if they're fighting with each other, they'll be defeated very quickly. Be joyful. Give thanks. Every day we should give thanks for the Lord Jesus, his death and resurrection. He never changes. He's the perfect creator. He's the perfect redeemer. So again, I ask, is this your Jesus? Is this the Jesus that you worship and serve? Have you seen him? Pray that God will open your eyes. Pray God will show him to you, that you might see him and repent and commit yourself to him. And you can be part of the new world. Heaven can be in your heart, and the heavenly glory can be with you forever. When we forget ourselves and think of him, and all things start to be put right. How big is your Jesus today? I plead with you to bow before the true Jesus, to give your all to him.